Jeremiah 48 tonight. Moab. I don't know that you know much about Moab. You've heard the name. You probably could tell me where he came from or this nation came from. But at this late date, all of that is just ancient history for even them, because Jeremiah is writing at the end of the course that Judah was taking. They had been carried away by Babylon. Jeremiah is probably in Egypt, having been taken there without really his consent. And he is writing now and compiling some things as his life is beginning to wind down. We've noted that this book breaks up into about three sections. We've seen that first chapter and a little bit into the second was all about his calling to the ministry. But then after that, he starts a 28-chapter march through messages that he had given over the course of a 40-year ministry, which is pretty interesting. It's his portfolio of messages. And if you read it as such and you begin to put the marks at the beginning of the messages as they come and at the end, you'll kind of get a little easier time through this large letter. This is a 52-chapter book. And in it, it seems like you sometimes when you read it, you get lost. But if you can see the beginning of a message and the end of a message, it helps. So there's about 28 chapters dedicated to his ministry of preaching through the times prior to the fall of Judah to the Babylonians. A lot happened in there. Several kings came and went. And we recall that when it came down to it, they would kind of get a little edgy. They'd begin to kind of balk and say, you know what, we're kind of put at tribute to Babylon, but then subsequently they'd say, we're tired of this. And they went to Egypt, and they got Egypt to come up, and then Babylon left them and went down and beat them back, and then came back, and then finally decimated Judah. Well, after that, there was a man placed in place as a governor. His name was Gedaliah. Gedaliah was killed, even though he was counseled it was coming. He didn't take his counselor's words for real, take them to heart, and he was actually slain within a few weeks after his installment. And the last time we were together, we saw that the next section after that historical section, which is all about Jeremiah's stumbling through, staying out of prison, staying out of pits, trying to get some food while the siege is going on, that historical section came after the portfolio. Then we came into messages to the nations. And that's where we are as we speak tonight. Last time we were together, we looked at the first couple of chapters on these messages to the nations. It began with a challenge to Baruch in chapter 45, and we looked through to chapter 47. The reason we took them all together was because, first of all, it was mostly about Egypt. And Egypt was really, at one time, the biggest guy on the block. They gave way as time went on to the Assyrians. But when the Assyrians began to diminish, they were the ones, of course, who took away the northern kingdom, which was Israel, carried them away in about 720 BC. And around 605, Babylon becomes coming into its own. But in the interim, while Assyria goes down, Babylon really hasn't found its footing, Egypt thinking, hey, you know, we need to come back into our own. You know, and that's kind of, we worry about that with Russia today, right? They're kind of down, and they were kind of broken up under Reagan, and now they're beginning to assert some authority and trying to make some impact. And in fact, they not long ago suggested that maybe, just maybe, they could give us the currency that the world could all agree on. You know, and they had a picture of it and everything. It was all on the news and stuff, kind of an interesting thing. They're trying to assert themselves a little bit because it seems like maybe the time had come. Well, at any rate, chapter 47 talked a little bit about it's a very short chapter, 7 verses, talked about the Philistines. And the reason we kind of coupled that with the chapter 46 was because 46 was all about the Egyptians. And then it came to chapter 47, verse 1, where it talks about Pharaoh as being one who came in and whooped up on Gaza at one point in the interim between the two prophecies of chapter 46. Now, don't want to lose you, but basically Gaza is the Philistines. Philistines got dealt with. God says, you know what? You've lived near my people all these centuries. You've not honored them. You've not honored me. You've not taken to heart what I've shown you in my deliverances. Everything from the, 800,000? Some huge number of Assyrians dying overnight. It eludes me at this moment. But there were some miracles that happened over and over again. And the Philistines are down there still acting like it didn't matter. They're acting like, you know, so what? You know, our gods, your gods. We all got gods, you know? And that's kind of the way the world is today. They say, well, it doesn't matter what you believe, just as long as you believe something, there's many ways to heaven. No, there's not many ways to heaven. God will see to it that every person will be dealt with according to His Word. Because His Word was left in our presence, and we can take it up and read it, or we can say, no, I think I'll take what everybody tells me as being that which is pertinent in my life. And I'll put my own hodgepodge, I'll knit together some kind of a theology that works for me. Doesn't work that way. The standard that God will use to judge the world will be His Word. Well, the Philistines were responsible to have responded to God, even though they weren't God's people. They were right next door to them. Well, in chapter 48, we pick up a long chapter, which is about 47 verses long. And it's all about Moab and all of the next nations that are dealt with in the next two chapters after that, 49, 50, and 51, I believe. No, 50. 49 and 50. Deal with, actually 49, it deals with like four or five different nations in that one chapter, in chapter 49. And then 50 and 51 deal with Babylon. So Babylon's the only one who gets a bigger bit of press than Moab. And yet Moab, what do we know about Moab? Well, I think if any of these nations kind of remind us of America, it might be Moab. Because Moab is the one who really has a number of sins that come into play. And I'm going to break it up for you here tonight a little bit so that maybe, just maybe, it'll be a little more digestible. 47 verses is a long way to go. But basically there are seven stanzas in this particular chapter. And the stanzas all have the common concluding statement, The Lord has spoken, or thus saith the Lord, okay, in each one of them. If you want to quickly jot these down for later reference on the back of some sheet of paper in your Bible, you might want to do it. Verses 1 to 8 is the first stanza, and that stanza deals with the cities being judged in Moab. The second stanza is 9 through 15. And again, at the end of that chapter, again, it says that the Lord's spoken and so forth. Then in verses 16 through 25, it deals with the power of Moab going down. That first 9 through 15 dealt with the heroes and how they're going to run for their lives. Everybody they put their hope in is going to be brought down low. 16 to 25 deals with their glory and power. And in 26 through 35 deals with the prosperity being taken from them. 36 through 38 deals with the beauty being ripped away. 39 through 44 deals with their security being completely decimated. And finally, 45 through 47 deals with their freedom. Now, what I want to point out at the outset here is verse 47, which is the last verse. And it is there that it says, "Yet I will bring again the captivity of Moab in the latter days, saith the Lord. Thus far is the judgment of Moab." In other words, God has a plan for these nations. He did with Egypt. Egypt is going to be back again in the millennial kingdom. God's going to reestablish the geography of the land in similar ways as it's found in the biblical times. And Moab is going to get to come back into her own. But let's go back and revisit now what we know about Moab. Well, Moab is a close cousin, in fact, almost a twin, to Ammon, which is a neighboring city or a neighboring nation off to the east side of Israel. They are related by blood. Ammon and Moab were born of an incestuous relationship that Lot had with his two daughters. After the Sodom and Gomorrah incident, their morals had been so corrupted. We recall that when the angels sent from God to go inspect the city came into the city, they intended to sleep out in the streets of Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot was living there, and he saw them, and he begged them to come in and stay in his house that night. They said, "No, we'll stay in the streets." He says, no. Don't want to do that. The people in this city are completely and utterly wicked. And so he pressed them, and of course they consented and went into the house. Well, when the sun went down, the men of Sodom came to the door of Lot's house and began to bang on the door and press and say, "Bring out those men that we may know them." It was an ugly, ugly city. It was wicked to its core. When the sun went down, they decided they were going to take these men that were strangers. They didn't realize that they were angels of the Lord. And they were going to take them and they were going to abuse them.
Lot, as you recall, said, don't let this be. These have come into my house. These are guys that I'm taking care of. Here, take my daughters.
Wow. If any of you had a sister, you know, and dad was saying, here, take my sister. Hey, huge. And so about the time they were getting ready to take those daughters, those two angels put their hands out, grabbed Lot, pulled him back in, and smote the men with blindness. And they were so inflamed in their lust that they groped all night trying to find that door. They were wicked. The point is that Lot had turned his tent towards Sodom. And then eventually he moved into Sodom. And the next thing you know, he's a judge in Sodom. He sat at the gate, which meant he had a place of respect in Sodom. And then when he gets the clue that this is going down, because the angel said, you got to get out of here because God's going to destroy this city. And he did indeed. Fire fell from heaven. He flees to the hills. His wife is turned to a pillar of salt. You know the whole story, but it's important to put it into perspective for our purposes with Jeremiah. This is many moons later. Well, what happened? Well, while he's fleeing up into the caves of the near mountains, his daughters think we're the only ones left. They thought everything they ever knew was destroyed. They thought every man on earth was gone. That was their thinking. It was, man, who are we going to have children by? We know we'll get dad drunk and we'll sleep with him. And they both did. One night one did, one night the other did, and they conceived children. And they are related to Israel, because Lot is nephew to Abraham. So we see bloodlines all around Israel today. The Arab nations are bloodline related to these people of God. And they hate them. There's an enmity between Israel and all of the kindred that didn't get first place. They've hated them from the get-go, and they hate them today. Well, Moab became a great nation, because God's blessing was all over Abraham. It was a time of beginnings. It was a book of Genesis still. The nation of Israel began. Moab, Ammon, they all began. Now, because they began, they basically started their own cities. Their own nations evolved. And basically, Moab became the lesser of the two, Ammon and Moab. And they were southern. Ammon was a little bit above. In the geography of things. And when the Israelites came in and conquered the land, you will recall it, that there was a point where Balak called for Balaam and said, come curse these people, because they're like the dust of the earth. Who could take on this huge number? They're coming out of Egyptian bondage. They're both established nations, Ammon and Moab. And Moab, as it were, was a nation that God told them, don't touch them. You know, don't touch them. And they began to march through, and they whooped up on Ammon, and they took a city that Moab held very dear. Ammon had taken a city that Moab held very dear, and that city, being taken by Ammon, made them at enmity. Even though they were related, they were enemies in one sense or another, Ammon and Moab. And then when Israel came through and they got in a battle with Ammon, they took that city. And so Moab always hated Israel because they had the city that was very precious to them. So this came down into their core. And forever they were always worried. And there was some oppression that took place in the times of the judges over that land, because it was what they felt was their own land, and they had no right, the Israelites had no right to. However, God, through many miracles, God, through many manifestations of power, had shown, this is my people. In fact, it was Balak who hired Balaam to come and curse this people. And every time he tried to curse them, he blessed them. That was Moab. That was the king of Moab. And the reason we have 47 verses on this basically kind of unknown backstory kind of nation over here is because they've been at ease for a long time. They were blessed. They were in the southeastern corner, away from much of the fray. When the Egyptians came, they came up from the south through Gaza. When the Babylonians and Assyrians came, they came from the north and down. But here's this little area nobody ever travels by. So they get a pass every time. And every time somebody comes in and spoils Judah or Israel, these guys are standing over there cheering, woohoo! And when everything's kind of deadened down, they'd run in and get stuff, and they'd go home, they'd have spoil, they'd have chains hanging out of their pockets and plunder in a bag over their shoulder, and they just loved the fact that Israel was always getting spanked by God.
Well, their time has come to pay for that, because even though somebody is by God's people and doesn't see judgment right away, they will in fact see it eventually.